to the night of tomorrow morning and go over the exact time of the morning so that you got a chance to think it over. Or when do you have any time?
Well, I'm in your position because this is most important thing for me.
Of course. You see, I have a leader. I'm in the middle of my cabinet business tomorrow. I have to meet the Joint Chiefs in the morning. I've got to meet, you'll have to be here. That'll only take an hour.
We don't.
But I think it's important that we get, excuse me, you go ahead, but you say next to me if you want me to hear. And in addition, if I emphasize again, let me say, Dr. Kissinger, in the past, maybe it wasn't believed, but let me say, throughout these negotiations, in the past and in the future, when he speaks, I speak. Because I have written it all out, and people get the impression that he's a brilliant negotiator. He is. He's got great tenacity, thank God. He had a brilliant job with the Chinese and the Russians and all the rest. But as Dr. Kissinger will tell you, he knows every thought that I have. He has never exceeded his instructions. As a matter of fact, he has the ideas, and some of them may have been bad ideas, or may have been some of mine. And I'm glad to assure you that I'm going to write out these instructions. Dr. Kissinger will have them, and next week he will negotiate the agreement. But I just wanted to know that, because you should not feel that that you have here, as we say, a runaway diplomat. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's a friend of South Vietnam, so no question about that. He's a hard liar.
We did this one for the time to do it yesterday. May I discuss the president? But we are going to be faced. But we should try to approach to have the movement in such a way that it indicates, even indirectly, our bio creation. That is going to be a kind of we know in practice there will be in South Vietnam at least for some time depending on the time. But to have something in the text which denies your right to be in the South for the psychological and political reasons which I have submitted to you. Now concerning the political questions, I think that as you have pointed out, the CLR, even if I said by abbreviation, the Council of Abbreviation,
that's what I call obligation.
We have to work on the principle of unanimity, therefore we can enjoy the things as well. However, it is important for us that it is, at least on the agreement, that shouldn't have the kind of functions, powers, which indicate that it is an organization which supersedes the our present institutions.
Let me say this. It does not have the control of foreign policy. It does not have any control over your economic policy. It does not have any control over your district governments and so forth. If it does, I have this right. It has no, that's the thing I was concerned about. And I want the president to know that, listen, I fought for him all the way. In fact, many of my advisors, not Dr. Kissinger, not General Davis, they're hard liners, but we have some that aren't. The State Department people, frankly, wanted them. They said, flush you. Our phrase. I said, no. Remember? And I said, no, he's, and I'll tell you why. Not just for personal reasons, and there are personal reasons, but because I think he's the best man. He ought to be here. He's a strong man. He's a strong leader. He's very sound, very sophisticated. He should stay here. And he shouldn't resign. He put in there his proposal there. He resigned 5 months before that. No. The thing that I like about this agreement is that he stays in power and they put this thing in there, but there are no functions. He does not have the foreign policy of Vietnam is still the GDL is conducted by President Chu. The domestic policy or economic policy by President Chu. Am I wrong? Tell correct.
I have told Mr. Duke, if the GDL conducts itself with confidence, first of all, this committee doesn't have to, you are only going to have to. You're only obliged to do your utmost to set it up in 3 months. There are a lot of other things that are supposed to happen in 3 months that the other
us, we feel that not only this substance, but also the form of the river is also important for psychological
dimension.
Therefore, we will have great difficulties if there will be description of the that organization, the CNI, is described as a structure of power.
So, well, we don't need to care. I see that. And let me say this. There will be a briefing that I will see this done. And I have thought there will be a briefing in which, let me look. Coalition government, he is a code word. Never. A structure of power, never. You see what I mean? That's it. And we'll do our part. Let me go further. If you talk about the psychological effect to so everybody's got the lawyers and the ambassadors and the rest with all this language and say, what does it mean? If I do a political judgment, I perhaps am entitled to one after the election, did very well. But the political judgment says, what is going to have the greatest impact on the world and on North Vietnam and on the Soviet Union and on the Chinese and I think on the South Vietnamese people? And the fact that President Chu and President Nixon stand together and say, we are going to see to it that we're going to stand for a free, independent Vietnam against any aggression. And that is the main thing I want to be sure he understands, that that's my commitment. And as a matter of fact, I'll meet him at Christmas. I'll do it New Year's Day. Present these. Goodly, this is the only thing that I can do before the inauguration. I have to write my State of the Union, I've got to write the inaugural, I've got to do the budget, and all the rest. But I will go to a meeting, and we work out. I think that is terribly important symbolism, too, and I think I wouldn't discount that. Because at that time, the world's press will be there. And whatever the left-wing press says to the rest, by the time we get through with them on that occasion, we'll put out our version. You know, what is an agreement but what we say about it? Besides, we are going to insist that the word, that the difficulty is, Mr. President, that the word administrative in English is fine. No one objects to that, but in Vietnamese there are two words for it. One suggests the structure of power, and another one.
We
are going to take out that word.
We have difficulties both towards
structure
and towards the structure. And then we have difficulties towards clear confidence for the reason that for years the communists have advocated a coalition government with clear confidence. Now, if we think the word free confidence maintained, it's very difficult for us to avoid the question that the CNR is another name for the government of the coalition.
It is a government, but to me, a commission is not a government. The commission is a way to get rid of a problem.
Well, I mean, I think that the government of Vietnam completely shares your views with it.
But you understand that, yeah.
Yes, we understand. But we have to stand to the people and convince them.
I'll explain.
There too.
We all will. I know your problem. It's very difficult.
We shall be very deeply efficient to you.
Let me say this. Sorry for interrupting. You'd be appreciative. Go ahead.
Wouldn't be in such a way that we can explain that it is a success for us and it's not just a way for us to
understand
to be punished the event.
One element of the success is the fact that you're going to have, I can see in this country, you can have an outpouring of, frankly, support and affection for the people of Vietnam. If we can make this agreement, and that's what I want. But we've got to stand up and say it's good, you know what I mean? Now let us do, we got to work it out. I think it's very important, Mr. Ambassador, that he, President Chu and I, let me say, I have this business among these people that were saying this and that and the other thing that bothered me and should bother him. I've got,
He is a, I consider him to be a personal friend and an ally. I hope he feels like that. But my point is that we've got to trust each other. And my point is we should both think positively about each other. We should think positively about this agreement. We should always remember that every agreement ending every war has been not satisfactory to either side unless there was unconditional surrender. I wish there could be unconditional surrender this time, but there cannot be. That time is probably gone. I mean, unconditional surrender of the North. I wish, for example, that the forces were there. Perhaps if I had been president 4 years before I became president, you could be very sure we wouldn't have stopped the bombing. You could be very sure we'd have cleaned this bunch out. And while we had 500,000, we could have landed a force. I'm talking very candidly about what I would have done in the high bomb area. And I think they were in hell. I really do so. But it's too late now. We can't do that. So what we now have to do is to strengthen you. I want South Vietnam, GDN, to have the strongest army in Southeast Asia. I want you to have a strong air force. I want you to have the strongest economy. And with that, and the backing of the United States, you are going to be the major power in the area. That's my belief. That's my belief. When you work harder, I love the Cambodians and the Laotians and all of your neighbors and the rest, but I know your people. It's your north and south, you work hard. You're our people, but you know them. They fight well, so do your people. It isn't a question that they fight well. Let me tell you why the North fights well. Not because they're communists, because they're Vietnamese. Vietnamese are brave people. They're brave people, they're good fighters. But now it is time for us to get this country that has suffered so much for 25 years, and we want to help. We want to keep you strong economically, strong militarily, and we want to be your friend and your ally. As I say, I will always be your friend. But if we do not make this, if, for example, you cannot go along with an agreement which we are going to negotiate this next week, and the timetable which we have now to do in order to meet this Congress to the punch. See, I don't want them to push us out. We've got to stay one jump ahead of the sheriff. This time the sheriff is the Congress.
That's not special. That's you did with the communists.
No. It's the Congress. Not the communists. I need to worry about the Congress because they meet January the 3rd. And we've lost 2 seats in the Senate, you know. And so we've lost two, so we're a little bit weaker in the Senate. And as you know, Mr. Bestier, we've had votes in one on occasion. The House, as Ford told me yesterday, while Republicans gained 13, there were some who ran on the basis of the fact that they thought we were going to work out a peaceful settlement. But the point that I make is that in keeping that one jump ahead, what we've got to do is to have all of these things out, and then as allies say, all right, this is our deal, let's be proud of it, let's meet on it, and it's going to be to take place at the earliest possible time, as soon as we can, but it cannot be a meeting unless we know what's going to be the other side of the mountain. You can see, President Pugh and I meet and disagree. That would be an international disaster of the greatest magnitude. It would be bad for us, it would be suicide for him. No question about it, just suicide like that. And so we must not let that happen. On the other hand, President Pugh and I meet, and he has to understand, and this is things that you and Kissinger have got to work out, what they mean, the proper instructions from your president, he meet. Then we meet, and we have an agreement. Then we meet as friends and allies, and we stay friends and allies. What I don't want to do is to have a situation where I will always be, as I said, a friend, but where, because of the Congress, we cannot be an ally. Now that's really what it is. It's just as simple as that. I wish it were otherwise. If it had been 4 years ago, or perhaps 8 years ago, that's 65, and I talked to President Johnson in this room, and he says that he feels it. He is just sorry that he escalated slowly. See, that was the difference I had with him. And I was into the country in 65, and I saw a few Americans out there, and I said, if you start the bombing, if you ever start bombing, don't do it in a, with smaller regions. And my view was, I showed by the mining decision, I said, hit them hard, give them a massive stroke, and that will finish it. But we never did that, you see. We escalated the war slowly, which is a terrible mistake. But that's all water of the bridge now. We're now not in a position to escalate either slowly or in fashion. If we were, we'd have a different situation. Understand? I'm telling you this in private. That is why we're talking north. We're not even then.
You just received an official protest from the Russians tomorrow. And yesterday, because I threatened the North Vietnamese at the president's instructions. As I told you when I was in Paris about resuming the bombing.
The Russians objected.
Well, I have said, since the president resumed the bombing before May 8th, before the summit,
he might do it again.
He will do it, certainly again, and the Russians protested about that. So I.
There's a jail has instructed me to request reviews for the modality of the negotiations. We feel that as the United States has been negotiating with Hanoi on a relative basis, Hanoi seems to have a tendency to take advantage of the United States in presenting things in a contentious fashion. Particularly, it says that Hanoi does not form Washington, does not send troops with the United States. Why should the United States do such a thing? For Vietnam, for asking the United States to take unilateral obligations. I think, on the other hand, for the political solution, Hanoi portrays South Vietnam as politically independent of the United States, and therefore making pressure on the United States to postpone the closest regarding political solution. In this context, the field of why we are trying to get as much as we can in the world.
It's like to cancel right away. That's correct.
And, in case of this, appears as not possible to obtain from them. In order to have the right political and psychological conditions in South Vietnam, since he wonders if it's possible to divide matters for the United States to deal mostly with the military matters or matters concerning the business war, mm-hmm. In the context of the main aid proposal. And then to urge Hanoi to contact us regarding the political questions. That is why the Vietnamization of peace, which would complete the Vietnamization of the war, which has been so successful.
Mr. Ambassador, I noted that in his letter to cover the point. And if I were he, I would raise the point as he has, as you have. At this point, I have to be very, you want me to be frank, it's too late. Maybe it was something, as you know, we tried, and it did not go. But now we're past that point. We're at a point where next week, so we are going to Paris, we are going to negotiate as hard as we can. To get the very best possible agreement we can with these objectives that I have laid out, which I laid out on May 8th and January 25th. I want Dr. Kissinger to meet with you, frankly, if you're Danny is too keen, and to go over this and everything you possibly can. See, we can get them. They apparently were very tough at last meeting. However, we have told them the same thing we're telling you. This is our last meeting. This is it. We are done, but I would, so what I want, I think the idea of now changing the strategy, moving back to that position, separating the military from the political, while it's a point that, the president, I understand the president, you should make, I have to be frank and say that it cannot be done at this point.
But in fact, we've done it. I mean, the outline of the political thing is really very general.
Well, in that case, what I meant is the very fact that we can help the but my point is, we have not imposed a political settlement on South Vietnam. As a matter of fact, the future of South Vietnam is going to be determined, but in my view, by a very astute, a very clever President Chu and his colleagues like yourself. And yourself and the others, I know a lot of your people, with the support of the United States, you're going to determine that future. The North's not going to determine. The presidents of the North Vietnamese troops are not going to determine. The psychological factors are not going to determine. The major psychological factor that's going to have influence on the North and on the South is going to be, in my view, the fact that first we reach agreement, and second, that we have President Chu and President of the United States meeting and saying we stand together for in solidarity behind this agreement, and any breach of it will be, we'll move on. And the third point is then my going to the Congress and getting congressional approval. See, I can submit it all to the Congress. Because this requires some money, as you know, to continue the economic aid and military aid. And then also going to the country. It would be my intention to go to the country. Primarily, Mr. Ambassador, to lay the foundation to say, now this is a reasonable agreement. It's an agreement, however, which depends upon the goodwill of both sides. And that will be not of you, but of the other side. And we intend to keep it. And we expect high hand audit. If an audit is not keeping, we should be prepared to act. So that's, in other words, I've got to set the stage of public opinion in this country so that if I have to act, and I trust we will not have to, but if we have to act, I can. In order to do that, in order to set that stage, if I have to go before the American people and say, well, President Chu will not go on the agreement. Well, two things are going to happen. One, the Congress will cut it off, and second, the American people would never support me in order or anything. But be that so bad, I wouldn't have anything to order with, because the funds that are necessary to take military action would not be there. The Congress can't restrict the president. We have stayed on jump ahead of them. I don't think it can come to that. Let me say, I want you and Dr. Kissinger to sit down and you be as helpful as you can. I want him to be as helpful as he can. Work over this language. I made a decision now as far as we're concerned. It's a reasonable one. My opinion from our viewpoint. I'm very interested in all the points that President Chu has made. I'm going to have Dr. Kissinger press all those points in his discussion. So I don't want to leave any illusions that you can, for example, get the point about the total withdrawal of all of our vehicles. That is going to happen. I mean, we have to be very candid. It's going to happen in this agreement. And so, but on the other hand, I'm talking about some of these other changes that we speak about.
I will tell us to do exactly what we
want. Also, what you can get, what you can't get.
That's right. And what we discussed Monday afternoon at Camp David,
and
in New York,
exactly. And then that will prepare me, Mr. Ambassador, for the meeting I have with Dr. Kissinger on Saturday. He will come to Peterson, Florida, and I'm going to meet with him for all morning. Then I'll go over word for word the things that you have discussed with him and all these technical details, so you can have a talk with him, give him all of your input. I'll go over with him, and I'll write out the instructions as to what. As to what our, what I call our minimum proposal is, and that's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to confirm the yes.
That I would accept it.
Respect it.
Well, we're grateful they have. This is a.
So we could trust that we have always placed on you, this blessing on you is great. The problem for us is to, as I mentioned to you when you're, how to present, I think,
to the Asian
people. In such a way to have an Asian of the people, because we feel that it is indispensable for our success and our solution. Now, in this regard, may I say, with permission from all factors, that in Vietnam, we have considered that since the end of World War II, the policy of the United States in Asia has been based on the containment of China. Everyone in Vietnam has now noticed that that is the conclusion. But in this context, if in this agreement there's no relating to the points I have submitted to you, it is very difficult for the GDR to explain to the people that it's very difficult for us. Now, if we consider, if you recall the positions that our two governments have taken, especially government Vietnam have taken the past few years, and to what it is now, I think you realize that there has also a great evolution in the direction of flexibility, both regarding military and political matters. What remains now are just a few small regarding the two subjects. The MBA at Manila, that is withdrawal, complete withdrawal of Vietnam, 6 months after beginning the withdrawal of Allied forces. Later, simultaneous withdrawal now become to the page where there's mention of we have already almost completed withdrawal of Allied forces. All we need now is just a simple reference, even the indirect interest reference, but at some stage somehow the entity has to withdraw. I would not use your time going to the face, but if you decide
maybe you can work or
that is your principle, and then we can find a way in order to find the ones. But somewhere, somehow, we feel from the standpoint of the world that there should be a reference indicating the NDA cannot stay in South Vietnam after the ceasefire. And second of the political issues, but the chaos of national reconciliation or anything can be interpreted by the people of South Vietnam as a coalition government. Therefore, to avoid words that the other side has used in describing the coalition government, like three components, or even the few words they have used now, the governmental structure, or something like that. And even the indication or implication that there are two parallel governments in South Vietnam would be very, very damaging to us. Because if there's recognition in the agreement that there are two governments in South Vietnam, and then
I see the point. I think that goes to the heart of the matter, and there are difficult points, and you can work on those issues with it if you want the language. But in Lenin's conspiracy. Well, I said that. I said that particularly on the letters that are particular. But I want to be equally frank and point out that we will that we're now, of course, we must go forward. The very, very best we can. We're going to settle. And we're going to settle in the right way. We want to set up in a way that we can continue to support Vietnam, both through our economic and military assistance and through the commitment to take action in the event of the agreement. So, one final word on the Chinese thing. That mystifies me a bit, because I would suggest that we will have far greater influence
the whole point of the fact of the matter is, if you read the Shanghai Communique, it was one in which the Chinese renounced the concept of expansion of Asia, or expansion. Well, anyway, we must get on to our other charge here. It's good to see you again after all this time. A long evening here. Good to see you again.